Hello, everyone. This is Premier Chess CEO, National Master Evan Rabin. I am very excited to be here on episode 228 of the Premier Chess podcast, where every week we interview great chess professionals, business coaches, attorneys, other people who have found their passion in whatever it is that they do. This week, I'm actually recording from the Dan Panorama Hotel in Jerusalem, headed back actually to New York via Paris tomorrow. But didn't want to miss the weekly Wednesday time that we record our episodes. So we have this week Rachel Kovacs, professor, arts reviewer, and author, and presenter at City University of New York. I actually first met her as a fellow Brandeis alumni at a Shabbat lunch. Actually a Shabbat dinner with Rabbi Peretz Fein of the Chabad of Brandeis. A couple of years ago during a reunion. And yes, my pleasure having you on the podcast today. How's everything going?
Okay, pleasure to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. So to tell a little bit more about Rachel, she is an adjunct associate professor of communication at CUNY. She's been presenting and doing research for many years. She also is a feature writer for the Jewish Link, as well as other freelancing as well. So I guess to start out, you know, you met me, like I said, a couple of years ago. And for whatever reason it is, I think you've taken some interest into chess. You actually wrote a nice piece about Queen's Gambit for our blog a couple of years ago. And then you also, sometime last year, wrote an article about us for Jewish Link, the newspaper. So just how did you first, kind of get interested in chess?
I always admired people who played chess. I just never played it. You know, as far as I got was checkers, and I knew people who were into it. I also knew a lot of Russian immigrants who came here in the 70s and 80s, some of whom were very passionate about chess and had that kind of mind where they could get into the strategy and really focus exclusively to be so concentrated on how they play chess. Chess is a game of mind, of strategy. And I do have a number of relatives that play chess, but it's also an art form. And I think you forgot to mention that I wrote an article also for your blog and also for Art Times Journal about chess's art. I write occasionally for Art Times Journal, which is arts in the Catskill, lower Catskill area. So
I mentioned actually the Queen's Gambit article, but yeah, of course it was also about chess as an art. So
right, and I do think it is an art form in many fashions, and just the chess board itself and the differences among how chess boards are constructed and what they're made of, it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful form. So that's my interest. I was never, it's a function of time, certainly not of interest, but I think mostly of time, that I never actually got into playing myself other than, understanding the basic pieces on the board, which is, it's kind of pathetic, but that's where things are at right now. It would be one step up for me to be able to play. And I hope that in the future, I will have the time and the ability to concentrate on it and learn how to play better. But I do think it's an important art form. And I do think it's an important form of strategy. And I encourage, the way that you're organizing your matches and making it accessible on an educational perspective. So anything that you're passionate about and anything that expands the mind in critical thinking ways is really important. I just want to add that for myself as a media professor, somebody who's, in a department of media culture, but also has been a critic of the media for many years and a play reviewer. I mean, that's one of the things I write for Off Online also, which is strictly reviews for off-Broadway plays and off-Broadway plays. I think that anything that exercises the mind in positive ways so that it encourages critical thinking is important. And I see that as one of the downsides or a dramatic liability to social media, because a lot of social media does not encourage you to use your mind. It encourages you to follow what other people are doing and not really think for yourself or think critically enough for yourself. So, you know, I see that in contrast, chess as one form of critical thinking that's really essential to refining one's abilities and related to other skills too. Yeah, I mean, computers and music, and they find that there's a lot of correlation between artistic people and people who can play chess too.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree. It's something we've talked about with a lot of people on the podcast, like my good friend Mike Papapavlou, founder of Guitar Guy Guru, and a couple others as well. And yeah, there's definitely a lot, you know, in terms of chess and art and music, and a lot of overlap. So I believe probably, you know, your interest in chess also has come from your friendship with Grandmaster Boris Golko, you know, very strong Soviet Grandmaster. I know you live actually very close to each other in New Jersey. Could you talk about your friendship with him and, you know, sort of?
Well, it was more of a friendship through the synagogue, right? Knowing Boris and Anna Golko. So I wasn't, you know, that close to them, but I admired the way that he was able, and maybe that's the way, I don't know for sure, but a number of Soviet people who were mathematicians or scientists, or, you know, they got into observance. They became more observant because as they used their critical faculties more, they saw a certain plan or organization and a lack of randomness to the universe and to the way creation is made. So if you look at somebody, I can't say for Boris because I wasn't that close to him, although, you know, I do know his son from the community. I knew Boris and Anna, who are now in Israel. Somebody like Hermann Brandover, I don't know if you're familiar with him. Hermann Brandover was a famous Russian physicist, and he wrote a book, and I'm trying to think of the name of the book. It's a very small book about how he came to religion through mathematics. So people who are very critical scientific people, sometimes through their searching and their combination of their critical skills and analytical skills, are able also to see a design, not just in a chessboard or in a mathematical equation or in physics, some, you know, law of physics, but also in the universe. So I think that's very impressive. You have a number of really smart people, really smart people. Do you think, particularly in the Soviet Union after, what, 70 years of almost 70 years of well, it's more than 70 years of communism and having religion washed out of them, that they came through their particular scientific or mathematic or chess skills to realize that, you know, there is some plan to the universe. There is somebody who's behind it all. However, yeah, you want to observe,
you know, it is an important point. You know, my mentor, Rabbi Mark Wilds, who's been on the podcast before, you know, often does talk about how, yeah, there is, you know, whether we know it or not, you know, there's a plan for everything. You know, with the holiday of Purim, for instance, you know, God is not mentioned in the Megillah at all. But, you know, after all, yes, you know, everything happened, you know, because of, you know, God. And, yeah, I think it is interesting how, a lot of people do see, science as well as, you know, religion, you know, kind of against each other. But that's, you know, of course, not exactly the case. Actually, I was just reading, or currently, almost finishing a book by my friend and Rabbi Levi Welton, who's actually coming on the podcast again in a couple weeks. You know, one thing he actually writes about, how his mother, who I've met a couple times actually, is she has her PhD in biology, and you know, she is, you know, a devout Jew as well, observant, and you know, she talks about like the relationship, you know, between the two of them, you know, quite a bit, actually. So, yeah. So, you know, you also, yeah, you know, you mentioned in an article that you wrote for us, you know, how you loved the Queen's Gambit, you know, you marveled how Elizabeth Harmon had the skills, you know, to beat Russian grandmasters, but in your words, also to transcend the rampant sexism in the chess world, of her time. Unfortunately, there is, sexism in and outside of the chess world. Actually, there was a little controversy a couple of weeks ago at the World Women Grand Prix Tournament, where one of the top grandmasters, Ilya Smirin, from Israel, was giving commentary and basically was talking about, how he didn't think, women should like have their own, tournaments. And it was just, a little bit of a mess. But could you talk a little bit about, your thoughts on that? And,
pervades a lot of fields, I think sexism pervades a lot of fields. It's whether it's deliberately meant to constrain women or whether it's something that, men feel that inherently that women are incapable of doing. I think it's really not only unfair, but it limits the ability of women to have the courage and the self-esteem that they need to get on in areas of life to which they could contribute, formidably. Many areas of life, and I see it in the art world. I see it very visibly in the entertainment world that it's a way of keeping women subordinate. It's not only not fair, but it's really doesn't make use of the talents that women have in a variety of areas which they should be able to express. Years ago, it was made clear that in the sports world, right, until Title IX and all the opportunities for women to engage in sports was really constraining them, and it was hurting the industry. And we see now women directors, women who are artists, who wouldn't have been able to do all kinds of arts because of sexism. And I'm sure in the chess world, although it's not my first area of expertise, that's the case also. But certainly anything that holds a woman back from expressing her talents, whether it be within the context of her home or outside the home, is reprehensible because they were given these talents to express them and to make contributions to the world. And if you think about it, some of the greatest women scientists have, look at Marie Curie, you look at, who made a contribution with radium, women who contributed to the understanding of DNA. It's women are capable of contributing to every sphere of life and should be given equal opportunities to do so. In terms of, the art and the artistic world, which was really, my area, obviously I was at Brandeis, I majored in performance there and later on went to the media world. I think that, and now I'm going back to do, theater criticism and film criticism. And it's really, really, I would say, not only deleterious, but it's a crying shame that women haven't been given the opportunity, haven't been given representation in certain areas of the field. They're, as I say, they're first coming into getting credit, being honored for directing and for other things. And I'm sure, that women could be more engaged in the chess world too, in many ways. I don't hear of, I heard of your organization, which is really an innovative one. I'm not familiar with any organizations that are organized by, run by, run for women and teaching young girls how to express themselves through chess.
Yeah, well, I do want to, just clarify a little bit. Thankfully there are actually a lot of great women in chess. My friend Jen Shahadi, for instance, has been on the podcast. She runs the U.S. Women's Committee. And my friend Kimberly McVeigh started a nonprofit, actually Girls to Grandmasters, with her daughter, Kimberly, her daughter Karsten McVeigh, and others. By the way, I do want to actually just make one, quick announcement for this podcast episode. It is being recorded in a hotel, Dan Panorama, in Israel. So my apologies, everyone, for the background noise in this episode. But yeah, so that said, look, there are a lot of successful women players. And there's, people like Grandmaster Susan Polgar, who's been on the podcast, who, you know, did not get, you know, a women's grandmaster title. You know, she got a grandmaster title. Her sister, Judith Polgar, was, you know, at her peak, second in the world. So, yeah, of course, there are, you know, a lot of strong women chess players. Right now, actually, in St. Louis is taking place both the U.S. Championship as well as the U.S. Women's Championship. And yeah, I mean, there's, you know, obviously a lot of, you know, very stiff, you know, competition in it. So
I guess what I was saying is, as my area of specialization with the media is in PR, perhaps in the chess world, we could get a better sense of if there was better PR about all these women's groups. I see you obviously have women who are very talented, who are reaching the upper echelons of the field. You know, maybe there could be more explicit or better circulated PR about women in the chess world in the future, or maybe even on your, you know, your website, you could perhaps highlight that, because women still today, they have more opportunities than ever, but they're not, it's not as if the mainstream is really highlighting all the women's accomplishments that it could be.
No, and definitely things need to be highlighted more. You know, yes, there is definitely a lot more men than women in chess, you know, there. But, you know, look, we, you know, frankly, look, we have two women instructors on our team. You know, Victoria, women's achievements, just like men, you know, need to be, you know, highlighted, of course. So, and yeah. You know, so, you know, look, I want to, you know, thank you for, you know, taking some time, you know, talking about how you, you know, got interested in chess, you know, being acquainted with Grandmaster Horace Golko, learning a little bit about some of the parallels between Judaism and religion and science, you know, talking a little bit about sexism in chess and women in chess and you know, the effect of Queen's Gambit. Is there anything else you'd like to add while you're on the podcast?
No, I want to say that I think that chess is an important, I would say, underappreciated sport, not only sport and art in many sectors, that it should be more widely not only available, but it should be encouraged. People should seek it out, because of its critical skills, its critical thinking skills, its ability to open up to other areas of knowledge, and because of the, you know, largely deleterious effect of social media on kids' minds, that it's a very good antidote to some of the mindless kind of mesmerization that happens when kids get hold of social media, screens, et cetera, which really make them very passive observers. They don't have any initiative through that. They're not growing through that. They're just receiving what other people create. And I think it's really important. Chess is one of the ways to sharpen the mind, that children, particularly even young children, should grow up knowing that their minds need to be stretched in very, very specific ways, and that the way that they're bombarded with screens and other media is not helping them be critical thinkers or critical creators. They're just being recipients. They're being passive recipients of what they get, instead of finding new ways to explore the world that are their ways, where they have input. And chess is a good antidote to that.
Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate the words. And of course, it's not just for, you know, kids. You know, we do classes, obviously, at a lot of schools, but, you know, also Google, Citigroup, you know, Prime 11, other, you know, major corporations.
I'm just saying, start when they're, so, yeah, when whether, they're little.
Of course, of course. Of course, right? But yeah, right, when someone is three, or, you know, literally 100, or anywhere in between, of course, there's, you know, a lot, you know, he could gain through chat. So, you know, lastly, if anyone wants to, you know, reach out, learn more about your writing, you know, if they need, you know, freelance writing or whatnot, how can people get a hold of you?
I think the best way would probably be LinkedIn. right? Because I'm on LinkedIn. If anybody, that's my major professional site. You can message me through LinkedIn. You can try to connect with me with LinkedIn. I think it's, you know, that's a good way. And that's a very, very positive site where people share a lot of experiences. They share their backgrounds. They share what they aspire to do. So I think that's probably be the best way, you know, other than my university address and my university server gets clogged up pretty easily, but try me through sure. LinkedIn. And I'm sure if anybody really wants to get hold of me, you'll be able to find me, Evan. So, okay.
Absolutely. Well, and yeah, okay. Of course your LinkedIn profile will be, you know, in the show notes as well. So yeah, thank you, you know, so much for your time and look forward to being in touch soon.
Thank you for having me on. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care.